This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If you need you to love me, let's please don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love comes a tumbling down. You leave me breathless. Well, I shake all over, and you know why. I'm sure it's love, honey, that's no lie. Cause when you call my name, you know I burn like wood in flame. You leave me breathless.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Jerry Lee Lewis. He's still around. Believe it or not, he's got to be late 80s, right? Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. Yeah, I'm still around. I'm along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Friday, August the 26th, last Friday of the month. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Preston Cooper. He is with a group called Free Op. Free Op. And we're going to talk about President Biden's student loan forgiveness program and in his idea how it will damage our fragile economy. So stay tuned for that just in a few minutes. And speaking of Biden, a new Gallup poll shows his highest approval rating of the year. It's up to 44%. Well, relatively speaking, that's good for him. What's he doing right? We are going to take a look. And did you hear about this? This is really scary. New evidence. The FBI intentionally suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story just before the presidential election. We're going to look at the details on that. And, you know, with all the talk about electric cars and now California is going to ban non-electric car sales after, 2035? We are going to give you the top 10 best-selling electric cars last year, okay? Blue Book. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, always want to remind you to listen to Senior Voice America. It comes on prior to our show. In fact, it's on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Very interesting program. All right.
Jerry Lee Lewis is 86, by the way.
Oh! Did that go out over the air so we can tell?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you were whispering. See, we got a way that he can talk to me and tell me what to say without you hearing it.
Yeah, that's when I use the foul language.
You know how they make Biden talk, right?
Yeah.
They got a little thing in his ear, but nobody else can hear. Anyway, he's 86, huh?
Yeah.
Does he perform anymore?
Well, I was telling you that I watched, you know, Dennis Quaid made that movie.
Yes, Jerry, and a good one,
that
I thought.
Jerry was on set, and he had a pistol in one coat pocket and a bottle of whiskey in the other.
Oh, that's not a good combination.
And Dennis would do something, and he would scream at him he was doing it wrong. And then he would do it right. And then they would celebrate whatever, but he was hands-on to that movie.
So. All I know is I thought Dennis Quaid did a great job of playing him. Yeah. I thought an interesting movie. Anyway, a new Gallup poll shows Hunter, got Hunter Biden on the mind. What's the name of Hunter's father? Joe. Joe Biden is now up to 44% in approval, according to Gallup. And that is 6 percentage points higher than the last time they took the poll. This is his highest in a year. What's he doing right? Well, this uptick represents a significant improvement on the heels of several policy successes for Biden. I guess anytime you pass a bill, no matter how terrible it is, I guess it's considered a success. Is that why he's getting favorability? He's going to raise the cost of everything because of inflation with all these new spending programs, and we're supposed to give him higher approval, and now he's going to forgive the debt of people Of course, you know, forgiving the debt doesn't mean that somebody isn't going to pay for it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Have you ever had a student loan?
Yes. Well, no, technically, no. No.
Okay. Well, congratulations. You do now.
My dad. Yes, I do.
So do I.
Yes. When I went to school, it shows you how long ago it was. The cost of going to Marquette University, which was a private Catholic school in Milwaukee, was around $2,000 a year. And that was a lot of money. And my dad took out a loan. I also worked while I was going to school to finance my own way of buying things when I was up there. But those days are long gone. And this increase in Biden's job rating is apparently largely carried and buoyed by political independents, whose approval of Biden went from 31% last month to 40%. So independents go to 40%. Guess what the percentage of favorability is among Democrats for Biden? 81%. 81%. Guess what it is among Republicans? 4%. Mm. 4%. So,
Well, the gas prices have come down a little bit. You know,
yes,
it's come down.
They have come down.
But he hasn't changed any policy to do that. No, we're not taking in the fact that yes, he's releasing a million barrels of oil per day.
It's doing very little
the reserves.
On the cost.
It does a little bit.
A little.
The new E15 gas with the ethanol that's 15% instead of 10 in some stations, not all. And overall, the demand for gas is way down.
There's no question about it. When you raise the cost, when you double the cost of gas in a couple of years, the demand will go down. Everybody knows that. It's supply and demand. Mm-hmm. And the higher the price, the less the people will participate. So anyway, these numbers come from a poll that was taken between August 1st and the 23rd. And, you know, he was in the White House when they killed that Al-Qaeda leader, right? So he gets points for that. And deservedly so.
No, I don't.
No.
That's in the works.
If we're going to give credit to Trump when somebody is like that is knocked off, we have to give it to Biden. He was in the White House. He didn't carry it out, but they brought it to him, and I guess he had to sign off on it.
But that takes years of surveillance.
I know. But all's fair that way. He's in the White House at the right time, right?
I mean, Obama took credit for Saddam Hussein. But that was in the works for years, too.
Yeah, that's right. But you got to give the guy that's currently in the White House a little
bit. And Bush is the one who said, we're coming after you. No, I don't think any other president has ever said that.
Mm-hmm.
We know who you are, and we're coming after you. And that took it took years.
Did you say Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden?
Saddam Hussein was during Obama, wasn't it?
Osama bin Laden was killed during Obama.
Okay, then I got him reversed.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Saddam Hussein was killed before that, but
right.
But your point is well taken. No, your point is well taken. In fact, Biden was against killing Osama bin Laden.
I don't think any one president can take full coverage for that. No,
we agree. But he's getting kudos from these polls because of some of that. I don't think he's getting kudos for the student loan program. In fact, because this poll ended on the 23rd, almost assuredly not. But people think because he's spending a lot of money on that other package that somehow he's doing something right. And we don't think that here. We think the inflation is going to go higher and everything is going to get worse. The government should never be spending that kind of money. Well, but people don't understand that. They see him spending money for a couple of programs and lowering supposedly pharmaceutical drug prices and everything. It's going to be a spit in the ocean. It's actually going to raise the cost, but people don't understand it, and so we go along with him.
I mean, they give him kudos if he finishes his breakfast in the morning.
I'll give him kudos if he's able to eat his cereal and prune juice without spilling it all over his shirt, as a matter of fact. You know, at his
age. Had the nerve to call mega supporters or what does he call them? Mega Republicans? Or MAGA Republicans.
Yeah, MAGA.
MAGA Republicans.
MAGA, whatever.
They're clueless. And I said, Mr. President, those who are clueless should not throw stones.
That's true. I'd hate to see him throw a stone. He'd probably hit his wife. So anyway, one of the other things, believe it or not, that they are giving him kudos for, speaking of kudos, is for his handling of COVID-19. Now, is it because Fauci's leaving? They're giving him kudos for that?
Did you have the story that Pfizer held the vaccine until after the election?
No, I didn't.
Well, that's just come out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They actually held it,
until after the
you mean that there were people that didn't want it get Trump to get
credit
for it?
Correct.
And they're willing to sacrifice people to do that? This is unbelievable that they would do it. No, I mean it.
Well, I'll see if I pull that story up for you to give it to you.
I believe you. Yeah. Hey, listen, we got to take a break. Yeah. We got a guy that's coming on that I want to talk to about the student loan program. His name is Preston Cooper. He's with an organization called FreeOp. So let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Biden's student loan forgiveness program and how it is damaging our fragile economy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Make sure you tune in to Burning Rubber Radio Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Network. Burning Rubber Radio will bring you up to date on what's going on in NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, and anything else that has two or four wheels and races. That's Burning Rubber Radio Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Network. Burning Rubber's brought to you locally by BigStormBrewery.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on a Friday, and we thank you so very much for being with us on this Friday morning. And the White House is very silent, by the way, very silent on how President Biden's decision to cancel between $10,000 to $20,000 in student debt will be paid over the long run, and whether it's going to drive tax bills higher, even for average Americans. They're not giving you an answer to that. Remember, they were all big about lowering inflation with what they were doing. Taxpayers are likely on the hook for as much of the principal and interest as the cost of the handout. And that's estimated to be at least $300 billion and maybe as high as $600 billion. So Preston Cooper is joining us. He is a senior fellow at an organization called FreeOp. And by the way, he was formerly with the Manhattan Institute and the American Enterprise Institute, two great organizations. Preston, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you. And you talk about this student loan forgiveness program. You don't think much of it. In fact, I'm wondering, Preston, let's just get right to the nut of this. I'm wondering how quickly somebody is going to sue and say that this thing is unconstitutional. Your thought?
Well, it's certainly a good question. I mean, the Biden administration essentially invented the legal authority for a move like this. They found a 20-year-old law that was passed in the wake of 9/11, and they completely reinterpreted one of the provisions to say, oh, well, it's a national emergency right now because of COVID, and therefore we have the authority to forgive up to $20,000 of everyone's student loan balance. You know, I don't think the legal authority makes a whole lot of sense, and I think that it probably will face a court challenge. You know, I'm not a lawyer, so I won't pretend to predict how that's going to come out, but I would say that, you know, a reasonable person would look at this and conclude whatever you think of the merits of the policy, they really don't have the legal authority here. And that's to say nothing of the merits, which I don't think there are many either.
Indeed. In fact, if they use COVID as a national emergency, then we'll always have a national emergency and you can do anything you want. And the president can all of a sudden take legislative power. I think this thing doesn't. I hope and I think that this will not hold up. I just cannot see him. I mean, this is certainly a legislative act when you start pulling away paying back loans. I mean, if you can do that to just think of what a president can do. Well, tomorrow, you're no longer going to have to pay your mortgage. And all of those that you know, the ones with car loans? Nah. No worries. The car's yours. I mean, our economy would topple. There's no logic to it.
No, there certainly isn't. And I think the most concerning aspect of it is the precedent it sets. Because $10,000, $20,000 in loan forgiveness, what Biden did, that falls well short of what Elizabeth Warren and other progressives were calling for. And I think it's a sure bet that, you know, the next Democratic presidential primary is going to feature a bunch of candidates trying to one-up each other on how much student loan forgiveness they're going to promise. And then the next Democratic president, on day one, they decide their gift to the country is going to be to cancel a bunch more debt. You're going to create this expectation that debt is just going to be forgiven regularly every 8 to 12 years. So when that happens, What happens to college tuition? What happens to, you know, the number of low-quality programs out there that colleges are offering? It's all going to go up because they want to take advantage of this essential free money fire hose that the Biden administration has set in motion.
Yeah, indeed.
I think that's going to be really concerning.
I think you're right. You know, we were talking before you came on a long time ago when I went to college, and it would cost, and I went to a private Catholic school, it cost about $2,000 a year for the whole bit, right? Room, board, and tuition. And my dad took out a loan because it was a lot of money for us. For the first couple of years, he was paying that himself, of course. Now, if you go to a private Catholic school in the United States, you're not going to pay $2,000. You're going to pay something close to $60,000 a year. And your point about the government involvement, I think, is exactly right. It's because of the government involvement in loan programs for education that the cost of education goes up. Because as soon as they start raising the price, I mean, as soon as they start handing out money for paying loans back and getting involved in it, these colleges look at the extra money that they're going to get and they start raising their prices because they know they can get more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of the features of President Biden's announcement that's got a little bit less attention, he says, for all the people who didn't get their loans forgiven and all the people who are taking out loans tomorrow, you're also going to be able to pay back a lot less of what you owe. You know, they're going to be dramatically cutting student loan payments going forward. For a lot of people, they're cutting student loan payments down to zero or cutting them by a lot, by 80% or so. And what this amounts to is basically kind of a backdoor free college scheme. You know, the government giving out loans on the front end and then not actually collecting any payments on those loans. So it turns out that, you know, through this backdoor loan program, again, issued entirely by executive order, the colleges are also going to find it easier to raise tuition because so many of the students aren't actually going to have to pay the loans.
There you go. We're talking with Preston Cooper. He's a senior fellow at FreeOp, and we're talking about student loan forgiveness. You know, Preston, there are a lot of Democrats that are not on board with this, especially the ones that are running in tight elections in November. They have jumped off the bandwagon on this thing. And I think even the media, to some extent, has jumped off the bandwagon. I think even the media is not giving him a pat on the back. Do you sense that?
I am seeing a little bit of that. You know, as you mentioned, some of the Democrats who are running in tough Senate races in places like Ohio and Nevada have come out kind of against this loan forgiveness scheme. And one of the points that they make, which I think is quite valid, is that this does nothing to address the cost of college going forward. It's probably going to make it worse. It does nothing to address college affordability, and it probably creates a big moral hazard problem in which people take out larger loans, colleges charge higher tuition, and there's never any accountability for it. I think that a lot of the moderate Democrats running in these tough Senate elections kind of intuitively sense that that's what Americans are going to be concerned about. Sure, you forgave debt for people today, but what about tomorrow? We're giving out $85 billion in loans next year. What about all of that? You know, if you don't solve the problem going forward, you're not going to solve the problem.
Exactly. Even Nancy Pelosi a year ago got up and said that the president has no authority at all to cancel student loans. He said that anything like that is a part of the legislative branch. She said it right straight to the camera. And all of a sudden, she's silent, right? And these people just allowing this to occur, it drives anybody that has a brain, it drives them crazy to see this. Think about all the people who have loans for different things, or those that paid their loans back, or the ones that didn't go to college and now are faced with paying at some point, you know, through taxes, paying off these loans. I think they've made a big mistake. I'm wondering if they had it to do over again, if they would have thought twice on this.
I think you're certainly right. You know, only 13% of adult Americans have student debt. You know, a lot of other people either paid off their loans or tried to save or work so that they wouldn't have to take on debts. And a lot of people never went to college at all or went to a community college or some other inexpensive school where they wouldn't have to take on debt. You know, I think that, you know, when you have all those people, they're saying, you know, I made the decision which I thought was right. I tried to be thrifty. I tried to be frugal. And it seems that decision now is not being rewarded. In fact, the exact opposite decision is being rewarded. And I think ultimately you have a lot more people in that camp than people in the camp of that are happy about getting their loans forgiven.
Indeed. On another subject, Biden has actually had, even though we might not like what he's done, I guess just any activity is better than no activity. Gallup shows Biden's approval rating has gone up about 6 percentage points from a month ago. It's still, underwater at 44%. But is it because, Preston, in your opinion, is it because people just don't understand economics to give him a higher approval rating a month later after some of this legislation? What do you think?
Well, I think that part of it, I think, as was mentioned earlier on the show, is that gas prices have come down a little bit. I'm not sure how much credit Biden should get for that, but you know, he
true. He's in office when it happened.
Whether he can get away with it or not, so I think that might be contributing some of it. But mm-hmm. I think that kind of speaks to what really drives presidential approval ratings. You know, everybody has to pay for gas. Almost everybody has to pay for gas unless you live in Manhattan, and you know. The price of gas is going to be a major pocketbook issue for virtually every American. You know, the student loans are going to be an issue just for people who had, you know, expensive college educations. And so when you look at it, you know, gas prices are going to affect your approval rating much more than, you know, student loan forgiveness is going to. And that's where I think Biden may have made a little bit of a political mistake in focusing on student loans and, you know, not focusing on energy independence and other pocketbook issues that are affecting the majority of Americans.
Do you think it's going to backfire in November?
I think that there's a certain possibility. I think that there are some people who are going to be happy about this, and that might drive some more turnout. But I think most of those people were going to vote for Biden anyways, or vote for the Democrats anyways. But I think that you're definitely going to see a sense of people who feel like they've gotten cheated by this. You know, if you make a list of all the people who need financial help, student borrowers are probably not going to feature very prominently at the top of that list. You know, most people who went to college, you know, are going to be above the average income, to say nothing of people who went to graduate school or law school or business school. And, you know, when we're helping those people and not helping people who are struggling with inflation, with high price, with the continued rocky state of the economy, I think that really can backfire.
You know, this idea of using executive orders, and Trump did it too. I think we're getting a little dangerously further away from the Constitution. We just are, I mean, in so many ways we're getting further away, but in this particular way, when people forget that the president is not a guy that comes out and says, hey, guess what, I'm going to cancel today. He doesn't have that authority. He's only supposed to be executing executing laws that have been passed by Congress, by the legislative branch. We seem to be just forgetting that with these executive orders. Your thought on that?
I totally agree. You know, as you have to mention before, there it's not entirely clear that he has the authority here. I don't think he has the authority at all, but that hasn't stopped him from doing it, from issuing this by executive order. And, you know, another point on this is that if student loan forgiveness had been enacted by Congress, I still don't think it would have been a great idea on the merits, but if it had been enacted by Congress, it could have been paired with some other reforms to fix the system going forward, to rein in these federal student loan programs, to impose some accountability on colleges with bad outcomes, to, you know, bring down their prices and make sure that they're providing students with skills that are actually useful in the labor market. They didn't do any of this. They just gave a one-time handout to students, which is probably going to end up being a one-time handout to colleges, and did absolutely nothing to fix the system going forward. And that's why separation of powers matters, because the legislature is supposed to tackle these tough questions rather than just giving one-time handouts to political constituents.
Yeah, let's hope that the courts do intervene on this one. Before we let you go, Preston, tell us a little bit about FreeOp.
FreeOp is the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity, and we are interested in advancing market-based solutions to problems that are affecting people below the median income or wealth. So we're focused on things like the cost of higher education, the cost of health care and prescription drugs, the cost of energy, that's a big one these days, you know, trying to figure out market-based solutions, conservative solutions, in order to really help Americans where it hurts, you know, the pocketbook, and to try and make advanced app opportunity for all people, but especially people who least have it.
Well, terrific. Well, keep up the good work. Thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. Preston Cooper. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, new evidence that the FBI intentionally suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story just before our last presidential election.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vaccaro, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Thank you so very, very much for listening to us. I know you got a lot of other things you could be doing. Well, California, where everything seems to start and end in some cases, California air regulators voted yesterday to approve rules that would ban the use of selling gasoline cars by 2035. Now, I was talking with somebody yesterday about the whole concept, and she said, "You mean that you won't have any cars in California that run on gas?" And I said, "No, you can go across the border, like to Arizona or Nevada, and you could buy a gasoline car in 2035 and then drive it back home if you live in California, I suspect. And there's going to be plenty of gasoline cars still around. But I said, you know, I would rather have a state try something like this, actually, experiment with it, than have a federal one-size-fits-all, we're going to do this. I actually think that this is something that does more properly belong in the hands of the state legislatures. So if California wants to ban gas cars as of 2035, the sale of them, I think they ought to try it. And maybe, in its own way, it will help advance us towards the usage of alternative fuels. Now, I don't, I love gas cars, I love my car. We're nowhere close to it now. That's 13 years away. But Ed, at least if one, even, you know, I would just soon have a kooky state like California give it a shot.
Well, I think the other way. I think that with all that's going on in California, I mean, for crying out loud, they couldn't chase people out of that state faster if they had a baseball bat behind them.
I know.
For crying out loud. Yeah, let's just take your cars away. And I know it's only for new cars. I believe you can still buy a used car. I'm not sure.
That's a good point.
I think that the used car was exempt.
Let's see here.
And then supposedly the big three automakers are going to quit making gasoline cars anyway. But here's the thing. As of right now, I absolutely have no interest whatsoever in owning an electric car.
But this is 2022.
I know. Maybe by then they will be, A, more affordable. They will have a lesser amount of charging time, and
they
will
go
further, because if you take a trip to North Carolina, if you're taking a trip to North Carolina, you can't even get out of the state without stopping to charge your car.
That's right. Today it's
so it will take you four stops, I believe I was told, four stops to get to North Carolina. 14 hours. I can do it in 9 in a gasoline
car. Yeah, exactly. No, it makes no sense right now. And you're right. It's only for the sale of new cars. So you could continue to sell gasoline used cars.
Hold on to your... I can say is in California, hold on to your gasoline car.
I would say so, too. They might be worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Twitter exploded. Exploded after Mark Zuckerberg claimed yesterday, he appeared on some podcast.
No, it was Joe Rogan's show.
Joe Rogan's show. That the FBI warned Facebook, that's the thing he runs, about what they called, quote, Russian propaganda. This is the FBI who knew at the time that the Hunter Biden laptop story was accurate. They knew it. They had the laptop by then when they talked to him. They intentionally suppressed the publication of the story before the presidential election.
From
there
the New York Post,
question
I believe it was.
About it.
They didn't want the New York Post to run.
Speaking on the Joe Rogan show, Zuckerberg said the FBI basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, "Hey, just so you know, like you should be on high alert." We thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. This is the FBI saying that. We have it on notice that basically they're about to be some kind of a dump that's similar to that, so just be vigilant. So this is the FBI preceding the story, going to places like Facebook to make them try to suppress any mention of the Hunter Biden laptop.
Anytime I got news, I get Zuckerberg on the phone right away.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, you and he are just like this. I got my two fingers crossed like this.
Yeah, I'm using one finger.
Zuckerberg acknowledged that Facebook was decreased in its viewership by the New York Post story about the laptop, noting, quote, fewer people saw it than would otherwise. When asked by Rogan how many people have been deprived of the information, Zuckerberg said, I don't know off the top of my head, but it's meaningful. I think when I read this the way he was responding, I think Zuckerberg is trying to go lightly along the way. He doesn't want to come out and say, the FBI is a bunch of criminals, and I don't blame him. You know, he's got Facebook, and he doesn't need the wrath of the FBI right now on him.
Well,
but he's kind of admitting that they suppressed the information, because it would damage Joe Biden's chance to become president.
So all those people that went into Facebook jail because they brought up Hunter Biden's laptop, Do they get any compensation?
Exactly. Exactly. So there was collusion.
And I believe he said something about we wanted to hold it to give our fact-checking team a chance to go over it. Now I'm talking about the New York Post article.
You mean Zuckerberg?
Yes.
Let me see here what it says about that. I think he has so many words.
I believe it was the story that on the New York Post. That, in other words, mm-hmm. if you put that on Facebook when it went out, you got kicked.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Interesting that Facebook suppressed none of the fake negative stories about Trump. as a result of the FBI
warning.
You
can talk all day about Trump.
They can talk about remember the Russian thing? They can talk about that all day. When there was no basis, in fact, where they had the laptop. They had the laptop. Mm-hmm. They had the emails. They knew.
The only thing you could not talk about Trump was the election being stolen.
Yeah. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit, Ed. Ron DeSantis, I must say, he does continue to make news. After Charlie Crist, who, by the way, is going to be the Democratic gubernatorial nominee running against Ron DeSantis. After Charlie Crist disparaged Floridians who voted for Ron DeSantis, DeSantis responded. Crist called DeSantis anti-freedom Ron and claimed the incumbent, quote, doesn't respect your freedom if you're African-American, before declaring, quote, those who support the governor should stay with him and vote for him, and I don't want your vote. If you have that hate in your heart, keep it there.
You know,
Charlie Crist is cutting off half of Florida by saying something
like
that.
I know, but he is playing. Let me rephrase that. The stupid things that he has said over the past couple of days is, one of them is he's dividing like Biden did. And, you know, you're a racist, you're over there.
Exactly.
And then on the other side of his mouth, he's going to be the great healer and bring everybody together.
Exactly, just like
Biden.
And
he's going to do all that for us.
Yeah, they're hypocrites. On Tucker Carlson, DeSantis called Crist's criticism contemptible and labeled him a political chameleon who has sought or been in public office most of his life. Here's DeSantis talking about Crist. This is his fifth decade running for office. He's a typical career politician. People support me. And he's making like he's Crist. And then DeSantis says, people support me because I kept the state open and protected their jobs. Charlie Crist wanted it locked down. So that's not hate in their heart. They're just appreciative that they had a governor who was standing up for them. So off we go. I mean, Crist barely got the nomination for Democratic candidate, and away he goes, right?
Well,
we'll see where all of this
Charlie
leads.
Crist seems to forget there was a reason we voted him out of the governorship after one term. And he was out. He made some stupid analogy saying that DeSantis is a leader of hate, and he was a leader of love.
Mm-hmm.
It really looked wishy-washy. I mean, just...
Yeah, it makes you sick. Yeah.
He is just playing to whatever crowd he can get.
I heard that Crist is actually kind of Machiavellian. He doesn't think he's going to beat DeSantis, but he'll get a plum job in the Biden administration after all of this, if he really goes after DeSantis and really tries to bring down DeSantis a couple of pegs. You see what I mean?
He will get a lot of contributions in money. You don't think Soros is going to donate to that campaign?
Right, but he's looking for another plum assignment in Washington, in the Biden administration. You know, they'll make him some ambassador, or they'll give him something, right? That's what...
Yeah.
And I believe it.
Well, that's why he's a career politician.
He's a career politician.
Yeah.
He's been on every side of an issue.
Sure.
He was pro-life. Now he's pro-choice. How did that happen?
He was pro-life before he was pro-choice.
Yeah. He was chain gang Charlie.
And people have to...
He wanted people to be basically chained while they were doing highway, the whole bit with the chain gangs.
People will remember that our registration for our vehicles... which was, mine was like $30, $40,
when Chris got in office, he doubled it. He literally doubled it overnight. And then when Jeb Bush came in and put it back to where it was.
If I was a Democrat, I wouldn't trust him.
Oh, my. Well, he was a Republican before he was a Democrat. And then he was an independent before he was a Democrat.
Yeah, he could bolt back and become a Republican.
If there's another party that surfaces, he's going to try them.
I'm waiting for the wedding, by the way. Okay, let us take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, we were talking about electric vehicles, were we not? We're going to give you the top 10 best-selling electric cars According to Blue Book in 2021.
Is there a golf cart in there somewhere?
You know, that might be the way to go, now that I think about it. Yeah. It would slow down traffic and maybe fewer accidents. All right, we'll be back. You want to get down? Tell me. Get down on it.
Get down on it. Get down on it. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Friday. And we thank you for being with us. By the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the network, Tantalk Radio. But thanks to Big Ed, you don't have to listen to us live all the time. You got other things to do. We understand that. So Ed puts all of our shows basically on tape, on podcast. So if you go to our website, you can listen to any of our shows that we have done. And you'll even know who the guest and the top 10 is because he puts it on there as well. So go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. That's O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top, and you'll see the show's most recent show at the top all the way down, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay. This is really something. The University of Washington, researchers out there, both at the university and at the Seattle Children's Hospital, apparently were reluctant to correct a misleading study that claimed that puberty blockers led to...
What's a puberty?
Puberty.
Oh, puberty.
Yeah, you're just not hearing me.
No, you said puberty.
No, I said puberty, but you didn't hear me.
I've got the tape.
Yeah. Anyway, study... Where was I before I was so ridiculously interrupted?
The puberty blockers.
Oh, yeah. Claiming the puberty blockers led to better mental health for transgender youth. Well, it turns out there was apparently no such data that confirmed that. But did that stop the University of Washington and the Seattle Children's Hospital researchers from continuing to talk that that was the case? It did not. Mm. Here is an email that they found. Quote, "As there is an overwhelming amount of positive coverage of the findings, I don't believe there's a need for a proactive response beyond continuing to monitor, but welcome your ideas for any other actions or messaging with the study team." In other words, we'll just let the lie continue because it favors us and it's gotten into the media. What?
So
that destroys your credibility as a data researcher.
So we don't want to give you the good. We don't want to give you the bad. We just want to give you the good.
The study claimed that gender-affirming care, such as puberty blockers, led to positive mental health outcomes for transgender teenagers, while transgender teens who did not receive such care saw their mental health situation continue to go down. Now, that was what they claimed, right? So there was a guy that started to question, let me find his name here, the results. UW, Washington University's characterization of the findings, was called into question by an independent journalist, Jesse Singel, who began emailing questions to the researchers to gain access to the data. The researchers did not provide the data to the guy. So he later published an article attempting to poke holes into the conclusion. Here's some of what he said, this journalist. What's surprising in light of all these quotes is that the kids who took puberty blockers or hormones experienced no statistically significant mental health improvement during the study. The claim that they did improve, which was presented to the public in publicity materials and on social media by one of the authors, is false. So he continued to poke holes. They are not questioning that he's right, but they would not turn around and admit it. So away we go. Very interesting. All right. Before we get to our top 10, which we think is a good one, the top 10 best-selling electric cars last year, I want to talk with Ed because we've got a lot of sports going on this weekend, Ed, one of which is our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers are probably going to see Tom Brady behind the center, at least for the first quarter or two in this game. Do you agree with that?
Maybe a series or two.
Just a series?
Yeah.
I think he might go
longer.
You know,
with a lot of freak injuries this year, I don't think so. Here's the thing, though. And I didn't realize this until I just looked at the schedule yesterday. Do you realize, I mean, this is going to be the third preseason game and the last one. Do you know that the NFL takes a week off after that?
They don't
start the regular season until September 11th.
Right.
They've never done that before.
Oh, they haven't?
No.
It's always been
all games ended on either a lot of games with Thursday night and Friday night, and basically that was it. So the teams could get down to the 53 players, and then Monday morning, boom, you started to practice for whatever game you had coming up Sunday. Now they take a week off because I believe that's Labor Day weekend.
Is it just because it's Labor Day weekend?
Did they give a reason for it? I don't know. I really don't.
Also, as long as you're on that, didn't they used to play four games?
Yes, they did. Last year was the first year that they tried it with three.
So I'm just wondering if
Remember, they went to three preseason games and they added a regular season game.
That's correct. I got it. Yeah. Well, forgetting all of that, if Brady is back, he's got some new receivers, correct?
Yes.
I would think he's going to do more than one series only because of the fact that he's got to get used to some of these guys running their routes.
I know, but here's the thing. The receivers that he got, they're not young kids. They're like Julio Jones, who's been in the league forever. Gage, who also
They got to get the timing down.
I know, but they can do that in practice, too. They can do that in practice. And I would rather do that in practice than risk your quarterback getting smashed when he's 45 years old.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you think Tom Brady will play the full quarter, first quarter?
Highly unlikely.
Okay. I'm going to make you a gentleman's bet that he will be in the first quarter.
It's possible, but
I know. I just being
there's your story, by the way, on the screen right there.
Oh,
about
yeah.
Zuckerberg and his
We have a TV screen in here, so we can get to watch things.
That little creep.
Yeah, Zuckerberg
is a rich creep, though.
He's very rich. Yeah. We got to give him credit. All right.
Oh, quickly.
Yeah.
The Rays.
Yes, please. What's
the
going
Rays
on?
Have now won. They swept the Angels, which were they should have done. They've now won, I believe it's six in a row, and they are 9 of their last 10.
Hey, they're on their way to the
like
playoffs.
11 of their last 13.
Well, I'm maybe a little early because we got them all up in September. But
they're starting to get guys back that are ones that they needed. And I think the teams that are in first place right now are looking over their shoulder and saying, uh-oh, here come the Rays.
Well, let's get excited about the Rays. Well, that's great.
They're getting healthy at the right time.
Exactly right.
And at the right time, New York's having problems.
Let's keep hoping, at least those of us here in Tampa Bay. Yeah. All right. Ed, over to the drums. We have a good one. Top 10 best-selling electric cars. Now, this comes from Kelley Blue Book. Uh-huh. And Kelley Blue Book is the source for things like this. Uh-huh. For the cars that were sold in 2021. All right? And I want to see if you can tell me what is number one best-selling
electric car. So these are new cars?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay? Uh-huh. So here we go. Number 10. The Hyundai Kona Electric.
Okay.
Have you heard of that one?
Yep.
They sold almost 9,000 units in 2021 with a range of over 250 miles to a tank. The Kona Electric combines a familiar layout and design that some potential buyers crave more than futuristic designs.
That'd be 250 to a charge in a tank.
That's true. Excuse me. To a charge. You're right. All right. Number 9. The Tesla Model S, the Tesla. We know the Tesla's got electric cars. Total units sold just over 9,000. Mm-hmm. While not officially the first Tesla, this Model S completely changed how consumers view electric vehicles. Okay.
That's pretty popular on the streets. I see a lot of those.
Tesla Model S?
Yeah, and in the WTAN parking lot once in a while, once a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Number 8. The Porsche, is it Taycan or Taycan? T-A-Y-C-A-N.
Just go with it. We're not going to buy one.
We're not going to buy one anyway. Total units sold, 9,400. The Taycan is a proper Porsche through and through, but for all that fun behind the wheels, it falls short of others when it comes to range, with a maximum of 277 miles.
Ooh, yay.
Number 7. The Audi e-tron, E-tron, almost 11,000 units sold. Luxury vehicle houses an electric quattro all-wheel drive system with a range of 222 miles. Number 6.
That's horrible.
I think so, too. The Nissan Leaf, I've heard of that one. Total units, 14,000 plus. Launched in 2010, the Leaf is the oldest nameplate on the list. Number 5. The Volkswagen ID.4, 16,700 units. Small SUV combines the cargo space of SUV with VW's version of the future with an updated infotainment system. Number 4. The Chevy Bolt, almost 25,000 units. It has the distinction of beating the Tesla Model 3 to the market. Okay.
I think because it's affordable, too.
Yeah.
The Chevy Bolt.
$35,000.
Never mind.
Not that affordable. Number 3. I got to hurry. The Ford Mustang Mach-E. All right. Number 2. The Tesla Model 3. 129,000 units almost. What do you think is... Do you have any idea?
Let's go with the Flintstone mobile.
The Flintstone. You're very close. It's actually the Tesla Model Y. Listen to this. 173,000 units sold. It's the answer to the small electric SUV. The taller Tesla not only outsells the Model 3, likely on track to be the best-selling electric vehicle ever.
I guess no trucks are in there, huh?
No.
Okay.
They're on diesel still, I think. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for listening. We will be back Monday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
F106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. More clarity could come today about the FBI's search at Mar-a-Lago. CBS's Robert Costa.